Welcome to the Storage Efficiency Panel, sponsored by NetApp. Here's your host, Francis Rose.
Welcome to the program. We thank you for joining us today. Our guests, as we talk about storage efficiency, are Henry Sinkowitz, the Chief Information Officer at DISA, Mike Malazzo, the Deputy CIO for Operations at the Department of Housing and Urban Development, John Edgar, the Vice President for Information Technology at the Postal Service, and Dale Wickizer, the Public Sector Chief Technology Officer for NetApp. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today. Appreciate your time. The challenges for storing data in the federal world are a little bit different than they are in the private sector. We'll just start off with an outline of the challenges that each of you face at your agency. Anybody want to begin?
First of all, on behalf of Lieutenant General Pollitt and the rest of the DISA team, we always enjoy these opportunities. So thank you very much. And I really love to see how the postal system is trying to use technology as well as HUD is trying to use technology. So it's really fascinating for me to hear the perspectives that this whole panel is bringing. And I really would characterize some of our problems, as one of my partners has called it, the three Vs. I mean, the volume of what we've got. The variety, I mean, these relational, non-relational, the different types of data sources, and sort of that ever-expanding variety of sources that we're getting in. Because obviously inside the department, we have acoustical data, we have a whole series of telemetry that we've got to manage in line and use and store. But then we also have the time sensitivity of going back and doing time snaps, trying to figure out where we're putting all of this data. And then what I would characterize as the velocity, that streaming of data and large data and that ever-increasing speed of data and cycling through data. So we've got a fascinating series of challenges, and everything from large data sets where we're moving healthcare systems as well as UAV telemetry to small data sets on just simple financial transactions, all accountable, all recordable. And how do we get through this problem set? I mean, for us, it's a fascinating challenge.
Mm-hmm. Henry, the situation that you work with at DISA is a little different than some of your colleagues here on the panel because you handle so much confidential, classified information. You gentlemen don't have that same challenge, but talk about some of the issues that you're up against when it comes to some of the other issues that he dealt with, the volume and so forth.
Certainly. I mean, obviously with reduced budgets, we're challenged with keeping up with the requirements, and just the idea of backing up and these large data sets, keeping them online, recovering them. I mean, that's certainly a challenge for all of us. We've recently virtualized our server environment. We still have a lot of work to do on the storage side of this. We're faced with redundant data sets. We're looking at how we can clean those up. How do we go to, more efficiencies in dealing with the storage requirements? So I agree, it'd be good to hear what the other panelists bring up. But I mean, I think we are addressing our challenges, and so far we're doing okay.
John Edgar of the Postal Service, you have the same challenges that the other two gentlemen have talked about. Your financial situation, the Postal Service, very well documented.
Right.
What are you doing to try to manage the situation that you have at the same time?
I think the similarities are in really the volume and the velocity of the data, to use your terms, Henry. Our financial situation is really driven by a reduction in mail volume. The data about the mail, and for example, just tracking a simple one package, we're growing from what used to be 2 to 3 scans per package and all the associated data to 16 to 18 scans. So the data volume, the need to manage that data and expand that same capability to all the other mail classes, from a data storage standpoint, is an exponential growth in the management requirements of that. So our goal really is to make sure that we're able to manage it with the speed with which the data is coming in and be able to ensure that we're providing the proper protections around it, because even though it isn't necessarily confidential or higher in your case, it still contains a lot of personally identifiable information, address information, mm-hmm. and we have to make sure we're providing the same protections.
Dale, this these challenges that these men are facing aren't peculiar. They're colleagues at agencies across government dealing with exactly the same things.
Correct.
And dealing with the shrinking budgets, maybe not to the level the Postal Service is, but certainly to some degree. Talk about what you're hearing, the people that you deal with, the clients that you deal with across government, what they're telling you about the same issues these men are dealing with.
Sure. I mean, what I've heard here is quite common across all the federal government and in our state and local governments as well. I cover all those. And in our healthcare, same sort of things. I mean, two big trends I see. There's a desire to do more with less to drive out costs out of the infrastructure. Of course, people are looking at, they started out doing server virtualization, but now to actually do the best job, ultimately what you want to do is you want to take those, what were handcrafted silos of excellence, as some people call them, right, that are poorly utilized. And you don't necessarily want to break apart those silos, because I think there's something fundamentally in human nature that loves them, right? So ideally, I think people are driving towards being able to virtualize that silo and run it on a shared multi-tenant infrastructure, but do that very securely, mm-hmm. you know, as was said before, so that everybody wins. The business folks get that privacy and protection that they want in that virtual silo. The infrastructure people are able to be better stewards because they're able to take advantage of the shared infrastructure, economies of scale, rapid provisioning, and so forth. So that's a trend I see on just how you do business, right? So shared infrastructure is a big one. Of course, because when you go to virtualization, you're getting all sorts of repetitive copies of things. That's where things like primary deduplication of storage and compression and things like that help. On the application side, though, I resonate a lot with what Henry says about the velocity and the volume of data coming in. There's a there's a trend which over the next 10 years, there's a increasingly a larger and larger and larger amount of unstructured data coming into environments. And in the past, decision-making used to be made in decision support environments, where you'd craft a database schema that was essentially to answer a particular question. You'd do a lot of work to get that and then optimize it so that thing could answer questions really, really fast, right, with that same question. Now we're getting in environments where data and scenarios are changing. You don't even know what the question is, mm-hmm. and the data is very highly unstructured, and traditional databases and things like that and metadata approaches don't work. Hence, you see a big growth in things like Hadoop and things of that nature, new ways of doing fast analytics and decision-making, which is an interesting trend as well. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, is driving up. As more and more of that unstructured data comes in, it turns out more and more of that is rich media data, high-resolution video in the case of, say, predator feeds or satellite stuff, or even just video in general. Think of, like, Netflix or YouTube. That sort of stuff is being used in the federal government for training, mm-hmm. you know, that high-resolution video and things like that. So it's an interesting, exciting times for everybody here. And you know, on the one hand, shrink your environment down and be better stewards and drive costs out of the environment, but at the same token, how do you enable the people who are there to handle 20, 30, 40 times the capacity because it's continuing to come in, right?
To follow up, though, what's been fascinating is that, I mean, we see this whole predominance of unstructured data coming into the environment. And from someone who spent 6 years in the airline industry and involved with things like TPF, highly structured, highly optimized databases, moving into this non-SQL world that we're moving into for us providers is a fascinating and slightly scary challenge. I mean, it's also exacerbated by this whole notion of data obfuscation, where we just don't necessarily know what the data really is and the relevancy to what we're trying to deliver out to in our case, the warfighting constituency, and this whole notion of uncertainty that goes with the data. Because part of the problem that we always see with this is that when we have all of this data coming in, I mean, we've got to rationalize, it doesn't do us any good to keep it in the back room. We've got to be able to send it back out on the pipelines, out to the people who actually can use it to make those real-time decisions. So there is the problem of the ingest of the data, of just making sure we've got the right bandwidth in place. But then the problem of storing it and making sure it's all available and cleaned up and usable, and then sending it right back out on the pipelines. So there's the three pieces of the problem.
So as I've seen across organizations, the two big challenges, number one, just first of all, you know, aside from I mean, once you get beyond the layer, what I call layer 8, 9, and 10 issues of, you know, religion, politics, and governance and things like that, I'm doing the consolidation. The biggest concern there in the shared infrastructure is still security on the one hand, right? But now what in terms of the volume of data, the other big challenge is people don't know when to throw it away, because you're always afraid you're going to miss some key piece of information. And everybody, I would argue, HUD, Postal Service, everybody, keep data around for trending information as much as they do for compliance, right?
How we're getting around that situation, and while we're getting our arms around storage, what we're looking at is tiering. So we don't have to, so when we go out to buy additional storage, maybe we don't need to get the, you know, high capacity storage. We can go back to tier three and start putting data on until we get our arms around what the storage requirements and what the, you know, how to consolidate the data. So,
well, tiering is one of those things that I'm extremely passionate about, as is NetApp. I mean, because NetApp, we have a fundamentally different view of tiering. I mean, most your traditional hierarchical storage management is you run all your data through the fastest tier and then migrate it, which to us seems rather silly when 99% of it's going to end up on the lowest tier anyway, right? So fundamentally with our customers, what we do is we ingest data to the lowest tier first and then have it automatically get cached up to a higher tier when you need it on demand and you don't manage it. So we refer to it as HSM but no M. And so we use fast tiering and stuff, and it has proven to be very effective. And those tiering levels are all dedupe aware, and all, so it takes advantage of the storage efficiency.
We're looking into that fast technology. I think next month we're going to start implementing that. So to answer that question.
John, at the Postal Service, talk about the security element of this, because as you mentioned, when somebody brings a package to my house and the carrier scans in that it was delivered to my house at a certain time, there's some very specific information there that's personally identifiable. Talk about the security of storing all of what you have and yet the proper access to the people who should be able to see it being able to see it.
That's certainly been a focus area for the last several years for us in terms of how to make sure that we're segmenting that correctly. Our architecture has taken the storage environments and created several different enclaves, each which have unique security requirements around them based on the sensitivity of the data and the access requirements of the people that have to be able to access it. We also take advantage of, based on the software tools that we have, encryption of that data within both in transit and within the database, and then have created a homegrown role-based authorization system that we use to ensure that people are granted rights to that data and to access the data only based on essentially a need-to-know capability.
Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about your prioritization, too, like the other gentlemen have discussed, about how you prioritize what you keep and so forth.
I think that's still, to the point about keeping everything, that still is a struggle. Yeah. You know, we have our retention rules around the different types of data in the organization, but following them tends to be a challenge. And also, you know, when you get into litigation holds and other requirements like that, those rules tend to go out the window and you have to keep it for much longer periods of time. So we do prioritize the data in a bit of a tiered storage model where we do put the most current or the most important data on the fastest retrieval systems. Mm-hmm. You know, our data tends, particularly the larger databases that we have, mail processing data, things like that, tend to be highly transactional and rather unique, so there isn't a lot of deduplication opportunity in those. But we do a lot of compression within the databases to try to maximize the utilization and scale of the resources that we have to put on the floor.
We just have a short time left, so I want to go around the table and just ask each of you. We'll start with you, Henry. Talk about what you see as far as volume in the next, say, year to 5 years, and how you're thinking about handling that, and if you can do that in 30 seconds.
I think what we're seeing is that scaling from terabytes to zettabytes. Mm-hmm. It is just an astronomical amount of data, some of it very meaningful and some of it very transitory. And so what we have done is we've looked across the indices suite, and I've got to be a little cautious as we're going out through to relook our storage contracts, to look at best practices from the entire industry. I mean, we are not a bleeding edge job, but we're an early adopter.
Mike Malazzo of HUD, how about you?
We are seeing a surge in new applications, new data requirements. Along with Henry, we're looking at looking at best practices. Deduplication is certainly a place where we want to look. We also need to look at getting our arms around the data to consolidate where we can. There's a lot of redundant data. This gentleman spoke about the litigation holds. I mean, that's never ending, and we're keeping data for a long period of time on that. So.
John Edgar, Postal Service, the year to 5-year view?
Yeah, I mean, we're seeing the same thing in terms of growth. Our overall storage requirement is up probably 300% over the last 2 to 3 years. Storage requirements are just growing significantly, and it's data that's important to our changing the business model that we have and being able to service the customers. So our goal is to make sure we can properly manage all that.
You're listening to the Storage Efficiency Panel, sponsored by NetApp on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. We'll be right back.
If you're in federal IT, you want to hear more about storage efficiency, especially when storage is eating up your IT budget. But what is storage efficiency? NetApp makes it simple. It's storage that's flexible, that's easier to manage, that requires far less hardware, often only half as much. And half as much means half the cost. IT efficiency starts with storage efficiency built on NetApp and delivered by NetApp partners like Swish Data Corporation. To get efficient now, visit netapp.com/federal.